If you are visiting with us, this is probably the most terrifying bit. So, just if you don't follow Jesus, thank you so much for being here. You are welcome to be off in your own thoughts or thinking about lunch. But, you know, hopefully there'll be something here for you to get your teeth into, even if it's to come up to me at coffee time and saying, rubbish, okay? So, I just want to give you permission, because there was a time I would have done that myself. And because I wasn't born, well, I think I probably was born with an awareness of Jesus, but school kicked that out of me. So, can he beat a Scottish education system to make you an atheist? Now, well, to truth be told, I was probably something more of an agnostic. I really wanted to show you a video today. I did think about it. Callum's now going, uh-oh, get up at the sound desk, but don't worry, Callum. But it's a video, we'll put the link to it on Facebook. In fact, just now, if I could do some admin. Colin, can you punt that email that you got, I think it was from Nathan, to Colin Young so he can stick the link on Facebook. In it, a Jewish scientist looks back to the Big Bang and says, look, the only way that matter could exist and could come from nothing, according to our friends who are quantum physicists, is that there needed to be the laws there, the rules of how it would all go together. That had to predate the Big Bang. I don't know where you are on the whole creation Big Bang thing, but it made me smile that here was a Jewish scientist saying, hey, we've got nothing to fear from this. Because he knows his scriptures and he knows that the Spirit of God hovered above the waters. That before creation, God was. And just because it's a Sunday and this beat's going to be in queue, I would just remind you that the greatest reality in the universe is not a set of principles, it is a person. It is our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So beyond the blackness, beyond the darkness, beyond the chaos, beyond collapsing stars, beyond the point where a trendy physicist will tell us, what's his name again? I can't remember. It was the keyboard player in D-Rain. Brian Cox. Brian Cox. Okay? Things can only get better. Oh, no, they can't, because actually the universe is going to die slowly and fizzle out over billions and billions of years. He was challenged about that. He was on radio once, and someone said to him, bah, you guys saying that things can only get better, and actually it's all going to end in a cold, dark lump. Ah, yes, he said. But it's a long, 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 long way away, you understand? All right, there we go. So, actually, the predominant thing, the thing under everything, we see in Jesus. What an incredibly bold claim. If I didn't think it was true, then I'll be selling you snake oil or arrogant or worse. But in all humility, I would encourage you that if you want to see the meaning of life beyond the wonderful Monty Python film, then have a look at Jesus Christ. Just have a look at him. So, you're wondering where this is going. So we're in a season at the moment in the church calendar. And that season is the longest season of the year. You would hardly believe it that the season of Pentecost is the longest season in the traditional church calendar. Would you not? Oh, my Pentecostal friends are going, really? You guys spend more of the year in the Pentecost season than any other, where we think about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, we do. And last week, what we did was, because it was Pentecost Sunday, is we had a reflection, and indeed we invited the Holy Spirit to fill us. How did you get on with that this week? I got some communiques back, people going, oh, fantastic. My absolute favorite was from someone who went, that's what happened to me. I didn't realize that's what that was. I thought that was something happening to me that maybe shouldn't be, and so I kept quiet about it. It's just love. Someone had sensed the infilling of God's Spirit. Just park that for one moment. Have you ever met someone who's so brainy they didn't know how to dress? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're probably looking at me going, let's hope he's brainy. Anyway, I once had dinner with someone like that. He had two shoes like old Ford Populars, black Ford Populars, you know, they were just round and shiny, and then black suit and black rimmed specs, and a kind of forehead that seemed to go on for quite a while. His name was Tom Smale, and Tom Smale had been a Church of Scotland minister back in his day, and a very terrifying Church of Scotland minister Tom would have made. But he was so brainy that he ended up with a teaching job down at St. John's, I think in Nottingham, where he trained people going into the ministry. And Tom had an understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is rich and deep and wonderful. And he spoke about the Holy Spirit like this. He said, the Holy Spirit is the giving gift. And as we look at a scripture like the one that's up there just now from 2 Peter 1:3, that his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. In other words, all of the stuff that we need to live the life that Jesus has for us is already here. Then Tom Smale would be saying, absolutely. The giving gift has been given to everyone who puts their trust in Jesus. And when we ask for an infilling of the Spirit, when we ask for the Spirit of God to sometimes called the baptism of the Spirit, baptism is a fantastic word because it just means soaked. Soaked. Ship timbers float until they get really wet, and then they sink. And that was how the verb baptize was used. A baptized bit of wood was so soaked through with water that it sank. And a baptized in the Spirit Christian is so full of the Spirit of God that they sink when they swim. No, that they're just full. You can see the Spirit of God in them. And so Tom Smale, this guy who looked so brainy he didn't know how to dress, he's going to get me for that when I'm home in glory, eh? That'll be a... But he talked about the Holy Spirit being a giving gift. Indeed, he wrote a fantastic book about that. In other words, that when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, the Spirit of Jesus, the Scriptures calls it, and the Spirit of the Father, the one whom Jesus left after his resurrection so the Spirit could come, so the Spirit could be with us, you know, all the way from Sydney to Anchorage and everywhere in between. And that giving gift is at work in us. Isn't that a lovely image? I want you to think for a moment about gifts you've received that have blown you away. You ever had a gift? Ever had something you've gone, that was a good gift? Shall I tell you a funny story? It involves me getting punched again, actually. It happens. So we've got a friend who's an artist. His name's Colin Robertson, Coldwell's Art Company. He's a fantastic artist. My wife had seen a picture that he'd painted of Crichton, where she grew up, and she really liked this picture and told me, and in my head I said, right, I'm going to have to sell my kidney on eBay to buy the picture, because that's how it goes, doesn't it? So I had a chat with Colin and Sue, and they said, right, it's okay. We'll give you mates rates so long as we can display it with a red sticker on it to say it's been sold. So I said, that's cool. That's cool with me. So got it all organized. So Diane went to the exhibition, saw the red sticker on the picture. Oh, someone bought it. Right. So come Christmas time, I thought, how am I going to disguise a painting? It's not the easiest thing to disguise, is it? And to show you how long ago this was, I just discovered this fantastic website called eBay. All right? And this is how my mind works, you know. You're going to be delighted that you're not related to me when I tell you what I did next. So I thought, right, I need to completely throw her off the scent. I don't want her to get, oh, that looks like, oh, it's a painting. Okay. So what I did was I drew up some fake eBay documents that said, this is a life-size cardboard cutout of Cliff Richard. I did. It's a Christmas day. I come in with a box. I say, there you go, darling, that's for you. And she opens it up and she says, what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? Oh, great. And then when she discovered it was this picture, she went, ooh, burst in tears and hit me again. Now, the Holy Spirit comes with gifts. Has anybody had any really unusual gifts? What have you had, Chick? Oh, your laddie gave you a cutthroat razor, complete with a leather and all of that stuff. Whoa. Well, I was going to say, no man in this room hears that. If your son gives you that, you think, oh, I'm going to get whacked. We've all seen The Godfather, right? You know, it's like, stay away from those things. Life would be a lot safer if the Don Corleones went around with Philip shavers, wouldn't it? It's not going to kill anyone. So, cutthroat razor, any other amazing gifts? No? Are you all married to boring people? No, fair enough. So, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, which happens at the moment that we put our trust in Jesus, though there may be significant moments after that. I was telling you about one of mine last week. The Holy Spirit comes with gifts, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives us those gifts. And so the Holy Spirit is the giving gift. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings gifts. What kind of gifts? We're going to have a look at that in a moment. And we may, I'm dicing with the idea to maybe do a series over the summer looking at these gifts. Because it'll be good. And many of you are gifted in ways that you don't even know yet. You don't even know. And so a bit like a life-size cardboard cutout of Cliff Richard, a brilliant gift. It was not a brilliant gift. It may be for some of you. By the way, I've met Cliff Richard and I had a wee chat with him. He's quite short, but he's very nice. But my favorite Cliff Richard story is my mate Francis Murphy got lost in the traffic with him. He was sent the wrong way by a steward at some big thing at Murrayfield, and Cliff nearly missed his plane. You imagine poor Francis, you know, 6'3" of gentleness and quietness, and Cliff's going to miss his plane. But those gifts come into our lives through the Holy Spirit who gives those gifts. Now, remember we reminded ourselves last week about Jesus in John 14 who said, it's better that I leave so the Comforter can come. It's better that I am not with you physically because once I leave, the Holy Spirit will be able to be with each one of you. So in other words, the risen Jesus is going to be with us. The presence of the Father is going to be with us, the Father love of God that adopts us into his family, but also the incredible power of the Spirit. Remember last week we looked that Jesus only taught as the Spirit enabled him. So there was a sense that even Jesus, God come as a human being among us, could only minister through the power of the Spirit. There's a dynamic going on there. And indeed that's how we were made to act. And the wonderful thing, if you look back in the Jewish understanding of things, is the word for spirit, is the word for breath, is the word for life, is the word for wind. Not that kind of wind. The word for wind. And so there's all these scriptures throughout the Old Testament that speak of the spirit, the ruach, the life, the ruach is the Hebrew word. And so when Jesus says, it's better for me to leave so the Comforter can come, the Holy Spirit, they realize that this is the life of God. It is not like electricity that you just plug into the socket. It's not just power. There's a character, a personality to the Holy Spirit. And in kindness and in love, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to those that the Holy Spirit inhabits. It's worth thinking for a while that our only experience of Jesus, our only experience of the Father, our one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That has always been true. When we read the scriptures and they come alive for us, that's the Holy Spirit. When we say something that was remarkably wise, even though we're having a bad day, that's the Holy Spirit. When we conceive of plans and community recycling projects and food banks and, you know, going reaching out in some way for fun days and stuff, that's the Holy Spirit. When I'm going into a meeting and, oh God, and I come out going, ooh, that's the Holy Spirit, which is quite a thought. One old worthy once said to me, one of the proofs that God is God is that the Holy Spirit can work in a committee. I do like that. So let's open our scriptures. I want you to find a Bible for me, first and foremost. Now, I want us to look in a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. Some of you may have visited there. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. So now concerning, this is reading from verse 1. Now concerning what you wrote about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my brothers. So the church in Corinth has written to Paul, and Paul is responding. One of the lovely things about these letters is that they exist in a kind of correspondence. We've just got bits and pieces. And the church in Corinth, which is really a series of house churches, it's probably worth pointing this out, actually, that the church in Corinth is made up of these little cell groups, these little groups in households, like small groups. Everybody who's got a big living room, so, you know, Alistair and Evelyn's and maybe us, and the people who've got the big places. Indeed, in some of these Roman households, you would have that quadrangle, that square in the middle of the house. It would be a perfect place to meet. While the church grew to many thousands, we would imagine, in Corinth, it sort of met in wee groups. And then every now and then they meet together. And there's not many places where the church in Corinth could have met together, maybe out in the hills or in some of the bigger areas. So that church is communicating through its leadership with Paul and asking about the gifts of the Spirit. And here's Paul responding. So now concerning what you wrote about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my brothers and sisters, of course. You know that while you were still heathen, you were led astray in many ways to the worship of lifeless idols. I want you to know that no one who is led of God's Spirit can say a curse on Jesus, and no one can confess Jesus is Lord unless he is guided by the Holy Spirit. Say Jesus is Lord to your neighbor. Jesus is Lord. See, it's no rocket science, is it? There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the Lord, same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in the same way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while in another person, the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between the gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes. He gives different gifts to each person. So you've got this image here of Christians, these followers of Jesus, living out their life not in a kind of dull servitude of doing their religious observance, turning up at church and confirmation class and whatever it may be, but a dynamic thing where they're able to do stuff which otherwise they would not be able to do. Here's the thing. How often do we find ourselves looking at other people and saying, can he do that? Oh, really? Can he do that? Can he do that? There's a dynamic in God's love that takes us from where we are with our natural gifts and abilities and then gives us a boost. Sometimes those gifts are extraordinary. They are not the sort of thing that we would get up to. Sometimes they just are there for a moment in time. But sometimes those gifts work along the kind of grain. Imagine, you know, you always work with a grain as a carpenter, and the Holy Spirit works with a grain of our personality, and many of our core gifts will be related to natural gifts He's given us. So people who have had sort of similar gifts, you know, so we might say, well, who might have the spiritual gift of administration? Fee. Okay, you got it? Because it works with her natural abilities, and she's very good at that. But there are other things that we may be called to, that He may give us gifting for, which are extraordinary. Most of the people I know who are effective in healing happen not to be doctors, though some of them are, or nurses. Some are, some aren't. Because actually healing is as much a function of faith as it is a function of knowing which drug to give someone or care to give them when they're unwell. And so you've got that different blend. So when we say to God, I couldn't do that, it really doesn't matter. You with me? You're all going, no, I'm not with you. I do not want to be made uncomfortable. I don't want to live in a mud hut. I don't want to go to Boogoo Boogoo Land and go talk to people who are going to eat me or whatever. There's a primal fear that rises up, and it's full of all our racism and prejudice and all that sort of stuff. No, don't take me from my sky. All right? I don't know what it's like being the Holy Spirit, but sometimes I wonder if it's just a long dating process. Some people, the Holy Spirit can kind of speed date. It's kind of like, you know, you want to do that? Oh, yeah, sign me up. Woohoo. Others, it's kind of, dear. It's like some old Jane Eyre thing, you know. It takes them a whole book to figure out that there's something going on there with ups and downs in between, I'm told. I just watched the telly adaptions. Oh, that's enough for me. You with me? The truth is that many of us in many ways are quite reluctant about this. Why might that be? Well, because we'd rather be a practical atheist than be uncomfortable. Is this not true? Some of you are going, what's a practical atheist? Here's what a practical atheist. I believe in Jesus, but don't ever make me do something that means that if He wasn't there, I'm in trouble. All right? If you like, our practical atheist is like our inner Father Ted. You ever watch Father Ted? All right. I've got friends who are Catholics. I'm told that if you're a Catholic, it's even funnier. And the thing about Father Ted is you sort of wonder, does he really, really believe in God? And he does, deep down. But there's all sorts of other layers of stuff, like him and Dougal are really competitive. You know, it's like, you can see that. There's always things going on. There are times when Father Ted does not really behave like he believes this stuff is true. There's other times he does. But when he doesn't, he's a practical atheist. And the fact is that we all have an inner Father Ted. And we all have an inner Dougal. And if you've never seen Father Ted, that's just gone right over your head. No, Ted. No. Not going to get sidetracked with that. So, the gifts that the Spirit gives, he's lined out some here, but actually the list is enormous, and it's not exhaustive. Any human attribute that is empowered by God can become a spiritual gift. All right? You could have a spiritual gift of baking. Anybody who's eaten Evelyn's sticky toffee pudding. And if you're listening to us from your boat, everybody say hello to Alistair and Evelyn. Hello. That's a beamer. That's a beamer on the Baltic Sea. Won't get many of those. So Alistair and Evelyn are off on a boat at the moment. They're probably lugging in at some point. So that's the spiritual gift of baking. I firmly believe that. Some people are just able to do things. Some folks can drop in a card And it just changes someone's day. Or that visitation of a pastoral gift, a mercy gift, giving some help. It can be very, very practical, but they're all given by the same Spirit. Indeed, the ones that appear kind of natural and normal are every bit as important as the ones that look supernatural and amazing. Because the truth is the decision for us to stop living for ourselves and to give our lives over to Jesus is the start of a revolution in our lives and in the lives of those around about us. Some of you have been bugged by Christians for years, and you know that's true. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts in order to be able to do that. Let me tell you a very brief story. This comes from the book of Acts. And it's about a guy called Philip. If you want to read it up later, if you read Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, you can read the whole story. But Philip is involved in a big renewal in the church in Samaria. The church in Jerusalem has got into trouble. It's really early days in the church. And some of them end up in Samaria, taking the gospel, remember, to these people who are kind of estranged from their Jewish cousins. There's a lot of tension between the Jews and the Samaritans, although the Samaritans have some Jewish roots. And there's this great move of God going on, and Philip is involved in it, and you would imagine that you'd just stay there, wouldn't you? You just, right, things are going great, I'm staying put. Church is growing, we've got to organize Sunday school, whatever it may be. We're going to get things sorted. What God does is by His Spirit, He says, I want you to go on a walk out on a lonely desert road. And off Philip goes, just as obedient as that. And on the road, he sees a kind of a retinue. I just want to give you an idea. Big, handy guys who are armed to the teeth are marching either side of this carriage, okay? And in the carriage is a very, very high official of the Ethiopian government who also happens to be a Jew. And this guy has been to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he's now making his way back to Ethiopia. And Philip draws alongside. Not an easy thing to do, because there's bandits in this country. The protection around this guy would have been significant. Let's put it that way. It's a bunch of big handy guys, okay? Big swords. You can just, those of you who like your Cecil B. DeMille films, you can just imagine what this would look like in Technicolor. So here we go. And this Ethiopian guy's reading the scriptures in the book of Isaiah. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Who's this guy that Isaiah is talking about? And Philip manages to overhear this somehow, and then gets close enough to say, hey, I know what that's about. The lamb who was led for the slaughter, who died on our behalf, who took the wounds for us, and the one by whose wounds we are healed, I know who that is, that's Jesus. And Philip talks to him, and he is so engaging that this Ethiopian guy says, right, what must I do? He says, be baptized, trust in Jesus. The next puddle they go past, this high official of the Ethiopian government's getting dunked by Philip with all these big handy guys wondering what the hang is going on, okay? And he's baptized. And then Philip, the scriptures effectively say he wasn't there anymore. He's kind of whisked off somewhere else. I'm not sure what Philip imagined he would be doing that week when he was doing his planner. You know, some of us plan our weeks. Some of us actually stick to it. Okay. I'm sure nowhere in his week plan was, I am going to witness to a senior official in the Ethiopian government. I'm going to put my life at risk, sort of working my way around all these handy guys with big swords, okay, and talking to this guy. But you know what I think Philip had learned? He learned that when you walk with Jesus that closely through the power of the Holy Spirit, you never quite know what's coming next. And the biggest determining factor of our usableness is our willingness to be willing. Am I willing to be willing? Because I don't know what's coming. And every single one of you who trusts Jesus, and maybe some of you don't because God drops us all in it at some point, have found yourselves in situations where you've gone, I see what you're up to. You meet someone who you're not expecting to meet. An unexpected conversation comes up. There's an interaction between folks that, you know, that there wasn't. Or you get an opportunity to give. And the Holy Spirit loves to give us gifts so that we can do that stuff. Amen? However, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, doesn't just come with one or two gifts. There's quite a pervasive theology that says, well, you've got to figure out what your few gifts are and work at them. I'm kind of okay with that, but I love that there was a really big Californian who had a profound influence on my understanding of Jesus called John Wimber. He was involved in the Righteous Brothers, as I've said to you many times before, and Jesus kind of rescued him out of that loving feeling and made him a preacher. Okay. He used to say, I remember him saying this, this was in the Usher Hall in Edinburgh, way back in 1987, before some of you were born, because I'm getting that stage in life. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he doesn't just come with an overnight bag. Comes with all of his luggage. In other words, when the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives, all of those gifts are available as we're needed. We don't need to kind of furrow our brow and go, oh, I really want a gift of healing, you know, or whatever it may be. We step out and trust, and he backs us up. Always. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but sometimes our faith's getting tested just to see if we're in it to be a big shiny hero or if we're actually in it for God's glory. And the Holy Spirit is forever working through our lives, forever highlighting things along our way. And as I said, over the next weeks, we're going to look at some of these different gifts, but let's just think about some of the gifts that Paul was talking about back in 1 Corinthians 12. Since some get a message of wisdom, they say the right thing in the right way at the right time to the right people. And it's kind of like, oh. Happened this week. I was chatting with Johnny, and Johnny was having a rough time. There was an issue between in one of the churches that they didn't look like they wanted to shift. So we had to pray. And Diane said, why don't they both shift a bit in terms of their service time? And guess what they've done? They both shifted a bit in the service time. The challenge was is Johnny had about 5 minutes to get from Kirkhill to Kiltarlity, and it's a long way. It's about 4 miles. So that was sorted out with a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge is different because a word of knowledge is where God gives us understanding or insight into something we don't actually know about. That's a kind of fun one to watch. I talked about John Wimber. John Wimber was amazing that way. He would just stand there and say, there's somebody here, and you've got a mass in your left lung or something, and you've been to the doctors, and yada, 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 yada. You think, how the hang does he know that? And he's just learned to trust that God will tell him stuff. We talked about the gift of healing, and that's a good one. And that healing can be physical. It can also be emotional, spiritual healing. That's fun when it takes place. A gift of faith. Boy, do we need that in the Church of Scotland at the moment. We need people who've got faith for all these wee congregations. Do you want to know what the average age of a Church of Scotland member is now? Found this at the General Assembly. 63. So the average Church of Scotland member has had their bus pass for 3 years. There's a thought. We need people with gifts of faith who are going to go into these wee places like Gore Bridge or Newton Grange or Mayfield or wherever it may be, or Kirkhill and Kiltarlity, all these tiny wee places, and say, do you know what? Jesus is not finished with his church, because he's certainly not finished with the people of Scotland. Anything but he loves them. And we need to reach them with the good news. And we need to help those in need and care for those who are poor and find those people in our communities who are gifted and have things to share, and then get them networked and give them an opportunity to understand God's purpose for their life. Find out what God's already doing. We need people with the gift of faith. The scriptures mention so many different gifts, and it's fascinating because just after this passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, it's just like a body. There's one body but many parts. Lots of different people are kind of like the different parts of a body that function in a certain way. And what's the point of a toe saying to an eyeball, you know, you don't belong here, you're not a toe, all right, or vice versa. And he goes on to have this long conversation about how our differences and the distinctives that God has put in us really matter. But all of us are intended to be gifted because the Holy Spirit lives in all of those who put their trust in Jesus. Amen? We're about done here. So when we ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of God to rise up in us and make its way through from the kingdom of heaven, which is just next door, remember that? When by faith we lay hold of that stuff which God has already given us, which Jesus lays hold for us through the cross, then our life takes on a whole new dynamic. Some people call it supernatural, which is fine because it kind of describes what it looks like, but actually it's perfectly normal for Christians. Our lives are supposed to look like that. All kind of, well, I was going to say wild, wacky, and shiny, but what I really mean is deep, profound, and actually that's the way we were intended to live. We were made to be filled with God's Spirit, just as we were made to be filled with breath, and we were made to never die. That's for another Sunday. So just remember that underneath all of the all that is a person. It's not a dark, empty, vacuumous void. It's a person. And we see that person in Jesus. And Jesus died so that his Holy Spirit, his presence, could live in our lives. We could be adopted into God's family. And when that Holy Spirit comes, oh boy, he brings stuff. Your very own life-size Cliff Richard cardboard cutout. Or maybe the painting that you were hoping for. Shall we pray?